Riders for John Chisholm acted as herd holders while Smoke and Chisholm rode through hundreds of 2 and 3 year old longhorn heifers. When Smoke pointed to a good long backed cow, Pearly and Cal and Duke cut it away from the main herd to a lower meadow, where Smoke's elections were being held in a bunch by Joey Wells, Cletus Walker, along with a pair of Chisholm cowboys. These young cows were in good trail flesh, making it easier for them to be driven to Sugarloaf without long grazing delays to keep the longhorns from getting hungry.
You got a good eye for a mother cow. You're picking my choice from the bunch damn near every time.
We've got a long drive ahead of us, and I figure picking a longer back will make the crosses better suited for our type of range.
I've done the same thing myself. We've got no railheads within 200 miles, so I have to make damn sure what I raise can be driven to market.
We're in the same boat. Denver is the closest rail yard for us, and that's a considerable drive through mountain country most of the way.
A cowboy from ranch headquarters came riding up as they were picking the last of the heifers.
We found 6 bodies in them hills, Mr. Chisholm. The 4 we got already, it makes 10. Them first 4 is already starting to stink. It'll take 2 wagons to carry them all the way to Roswell so they can be buried proper. Trouble is, they wasn't carrying no papers saying who they was, so I reckon the undertaker will have to bury them without no name on the marker.
Take 2 wagons. Tell Sheriff Romero they came gunning for us, and then I'll ride in tomorrow and give them a full report.
Yes, sir.
10 men. You killed 10 of Dolan's gunmen without a lick of help from us. I still have trouble believing it. How just one man could do all of that?
That ought to be about 200 head, give or take. Let's drive them back to the ranch and I'll pay you for them, and for the bulls. We can get a final count while we're driving them to the corrals.
After all you've done for me, I'm tossing in 10 extra head to help account for losses on the trail. You've been a good man to have backing me during all this trouble, and it's my way of showing gratitude.
No need for that. I did what I did because my friends and neighbors were in the line of fire. This ain't our fight, but when it spilled over and bullets started flying in our direction, those boys had me to reckon with. We rode all this way to conduct an honest business transaction, and I damn sure won't stand for anybody getting in the way of it, for any reason.
I understand. All the same, I benefited from it, and I'm giving you 10 extra heifers. No reason to talk about it anymore, it's done.
It's your decision, Mr. Chisholm. Only I want it understood I never expected payment for what I did.
Chisholm didn't answer, swinging off to beckon to one of his men riding herd with Smoke's heifers.
Go back and pick out 10 good long-backed heifers to add to this bunch. Tell Shorty to help you. Bring them up along with this bunch as quick as you can. Only make damn sure none of them are cripples. They'll be headed to Colorado Territory in the morning.
Pearly shoveled refried beans and salsa into his mouth with a tin spoon until his cheeks were bulging. They sat at a long oak table in John Chisholm's dining room eating Maria's spicy hot Mexican food, their faces outlined by coal oil lamps overhead.
I'm gonna miss this cooking. We'll be eating beans and jerky plumb to Big Rock, and I'll be remembering what this tastes like.
Joey Wells was sweating to beat the band from the chili peppers in his food, and he sleeved perspiration from his brow.
Ooh, this is sure fine eating it if a man's stomach is made of iron. But I'm gonna eat it even if it kills me.
Yeah, it'll put hair on your chest.
I already got enough hair there the way things is. What I need, ooh, it's another glass of water.
You can't put enough water in a man's belly to put this fire out. If it was snowing outside, I'd run out and eat a fistful just to cool my tongue.
Mexican food is supposed to be hot. It isn't any good otherwise.
If I've got anything to do with it being good, this has got to be the best I ever tasted.
Cal was just too busy chewing to offer an opinion at the moment, and he merely nodded, beads of sweat on his forehead, his cheeks, and his neck. Cletus lifted the bandana tied around his neck and wiped away a trickle of perspiration coming from his hat band while he chewed methodically on a bite of steak.
You know, I've never seen fire on a plate before tonight. Come morning, there'll be a line at the outhouse half a mile long. That Maria can make fire taste mighty delicious.
She fixed flan custard to cool everybody off. That's for dessert.
Smoke listened to all the banter, but his mind was on the ride they would undertake at dawn. He was almost sure that Jesse Evans and his gang had not had enough of a lesson last night to convince him of their folly.
I want two men riding point on this herd. I'll be scouting what lies ahead. But in case there's trouble, I want Pearly and Duke guiding this bunch of cattle until we're north of Lincoln County.
You expect trouble?
I always expect it, John. That way, I'm pleasantly surprised if it don't show up.
Well, it usually does. But if any outfit between here and Big Rock can handle it, it'll be the Sugarloaf crew. Hell's fire. I wouldn't know what to do if somebody wasn't shooting at us half the time. I figure I was with the wrong bunch if we wasn't ducking lead.
You said you were in the ranching business now, but your men act like they expect problems.
I guess I've got too many old enemies who won't leave things alone. Now and then, a batch of them shows up to try and settle old scores.
Looks like after a while, word would spread that you're the wrong man to be trifled with.
There's been times when dead bodies just sort of stack up around the place. It's been quieter lately. So maybe, like you say, word got out that Sugarloaf is the wrong spot to come looking for a little bit of excitement.
Down deep, Smoke felt sure that there was going to be excitement enough driving their cattle back up the trails to Big Rock country.
One more thing. I asked one of my hands to send a telegram to Fort Stanton while he was in Roswell delivering those bodies to Sheriff Romero. I told him to ask Colonel Dudley to meet you along the trail up to Fort Sumner somewhere with a squad of his soldiers as an escort, just in case Evans and Dolan try to rustle any of your cattle. I doubt if Dudley will agree. He's hand in glove with Tom Catrone and his Santa Fe ring when it comes to this beef contract business. I find I'm not only pitted against a gang of paid guns in this range war, but I'm also at odds with the most powerful politicians in the territory. Now, they'll do all they can to put me out of business. That's one reason I wish you'd reconsider staying on here for a while, Mr. Jensen. I have a feeling I'll need all the help I can get. Men who know their way around a gun.
Sorry, but I'm not interested. I've got a wife waiting for me up in Colorado and a ranch to run. If things were different, I'd stay. As to those soldiers from Fort Stanton, I don't reckon we'll need them. I try to make a habit out of handling my own affairs.
Chisholm nodded, rose, and disappeared into the kitchen. Smoke saw a frown on Cletus's face.
You know, after what happened last night, I sure wouldn't mind having a soldier escort. Wouldn't be no disgrace to have a company of soldiers riding with us part of the way.
If they show up, we won't send them back. But you heard Mr. Chisholm said it ain't likely they'll show. Apparently the army is backing the other side in this conflict. I never had much high regard for soldiers or politicians.
Johnny hadn't said a word during supper.
Don't know about the rest of you, but I was plenty scared last night. Bullets flying all over the place, knocking holes in the side of that barn where I was hiding. I couldn't go back to sleep after it was over. I was thinking how glad I was to be alive.
I was feeling mighty near the same way. Not that I ever doubted you'd get us out of that fix, Mr. Jensen, but them slugs were sure close a few times.
Smoke understood both boys' concerns. They were young and inexperienced in the ways of battle.
Leave Evans and his gun slicks to me. The main thing you're supposed to worry about is those cattle come tomorrow. Just make sure you keep them bunched if there's any trouble. Don't let anybody close to those bulls, no matter what happens.
You expect Evans and his boys to come after our cattle, don't you?
It's a strong possibility. I've never met Jesse Evans, but I know his kind. Some men can't learn a lesson but one way, and that's to teach it. Permanent.
You aim to kill him, don't you?
Only if he comes at us again. I won't go looking for him, if that's what you mean.
He's done come at us once already, which only proves you've gone and mellowed some, in my opinion. If that happened a few years back, you'd have gone looking for Mr. Evans by now.
We only came here to buy Hereford bulls and cattle.
Uh-huh. So we did.
John Chisholm had a small fire going in the fireplace due to a night chill, the house being without most of its window panes after the shooting. He had given Smoke a bill of sale for the cows and turned down the lantern. They shared glasses of whiskey now while the men went to the bunkhouse.
John, I'm also interested in buying a good Morgan stud to cross on my mares.
This isn't good horse country yet, not by a long shot. However, I have a friend in St. Louis who raises purebred Morgans, and you can trust him. His name is Penn Wheelis. I'll give you his address, and you can say I recommended him to you. He'll quote you a fair price, and even arrange for delivery by railroad car as far west as Denver. Wheelis is an honest man, and he'll send you exactly what you're paying for if you do business with him.
I sort of made up my mind to look at one before I paid for it. But if you say this Penn Wheelis is honest, that'll be good enough for me. With those Hereford and cows to tend to this summer, I won't have time to travel to St. Louis.
A Morgan is a good horse for adding muscle to a common mare. The crosses make good cow horses, I'm told.
I'll take that address in St. Louis, I reckon.
You won't regret doing business with Wheelis. He'll send you a good horse. You've got my word on that.
That's good enough for me.
I can send Buck Andrews or Curly Tully along with you for part of the way. Both of them have made a name for themselves with a gun.
No thanks, but I'm much obliged for the offer. I handle most of my own problems without any help.
I can see that. But I'm curious about a couple of things. Where did you learn to fight like that? An ordinary man can't kill almost a dozen men the way you did single-handedly without getting a scratch.
I had a real good teacher. An old mountain man up in Colorado. If I had to try to explain it, I suppose I'd say he had a born instinct for taking care of himself in any situation. He lived alone in the wildest part of the Rockies. He never depended on anyone else. He survived in a place where all odds said he couldn't, going up against Indians like the Crows, Blackfoot, the Utes, and the Shoshone, back when the Indian Wars were at their worst. After a spell, most tribes got to where they respected him, even made friends with him. Some of the Crow medicine men believed he was a medicine man himself, even though his skin was white and his eyes were the wrong color. He earned their respect as a fighting man, and they left him alone to hunt and run his traps.
Sounds to me like you were very close to him, whoever he was.
I reckon we were real close, if that's the right word. He went by Preacher. He told me the last time I saw him, his first name was Arthur. I never knew his last name.
Is he gone now?
I can't say for sure. He'd be close to 90 by now if he's still alive. When I left him, it was at his request. He'd been wounded mighty bad and looked for all the world like he was going to die. He asked me to dress him in his best buckskins and a sash, which is the way old-time mountain men want to be buried. Then he ordered me to leave that high country for good, to get clear of the trouble brewing there. He rode off on his favorite mare. That's the last I ever saw of him. And I believe it was the way he wanted it. So, I wouldn't know if he lived or died. Preacher had a hell of a lot of pride, and I'm sure this was his way of sparing me from seeing him pass on, or, as mountain men say, cross over.
Haven't you ever wondered what became of him?
Well, I owe him too much not to respect his wishes. Good night, Mr. Chisholm. We'll be up before first light to get that herd started.
My men will help you get them headed north.
We'd be grateful.
Driving half-wild longhorns away from their home range could be tricky business. Smoke knew that from experience. And as they put a few lead heifers in motion northward, some of them did try to turn back. The cowboy had to ride up at just the right time in order to get the animals moving in the right direction. The young heifers were another matter. Gentled by being around men feeding them in corrals, they plodded along at the back of the herd quietly. Smoke leaned out of the saddle and shook hands with John Chisholm.
Pleasure doing business with you.
The pleasure has been all mine. You be careful, Smoke Jensen. Don't let those owl hoots riding for Dolan jump you.
I'm always careful. Yep.
Dawn had just come to South Springs, casting golden light over tree-studded hills and shallow valleys. Off to the east, the Pecos River was a thin, distant line of deeper green, where cottonwoods and grass were nourished by its waters. It was a peaceful beginning as the heifers and bulls moved away from the Chisholm Ranch. Smoke wondered how long it would stay this way.
keeping the Pecos in sight, he led him over grassy meadows where the cows would have plenty of grazing. Once the herd got settled to the trail, the likelihood of a stampede would be less of a worry. When he'd scouted around for a couple of miles, Smoke turned back to see how the herd was moving. And when he topped a rise, he could see them strung out in good trail fashion, traveling along at a slow pace, with the Hereford bulls bringing up the rear, an expected outcome since their legs were far shorter and they would have more trouble staying up with the longer-strided longhorn cows.
So far, so good.
They were passing through what Chisholm called the Haystack Mountain Range, little more than foothills to a man who knew the Rockies. Water was plentiful in creeks and arroyos. So much grass and water, the cattle would have an easy time of it until they reached drier regions to the north. An hour later, Smoke tensed in the saddle when he saw Duke Smith heading his way at a fast trot.
Nothing's wrong, but we did see a horse and rider way off in the west, and he didn't stay long before he plumb disappeared.
Smoke figured it could be someone riding to warn Evans of their departure from Chisholm's ranch, although he didn't want to worry Duke or the others just yet.
Maybe just a range cowboy out looking for strays. Keep your eyes peeled anyway.
Pearlie said to tell you it didn't look right how this fella rode off that hilltop so quick, like he didn't want nobody to see him.
Could just be a coincidence. I'll ride over to the west a ways, just to make sure. Keep the cattle moving. Some of those longhorns are a little spooky yet. If one gun goes off, they'll all break into a run.
Well, I know ornery critters right well. Ain't no creature on this earth as likely to run off as a damn longhorn. We'd be trying to round them up till doomsday if something scares them.
Smoke wondered about that rider they had seen as Duke rode off to rejoin the herd, riding point. Was Jesse Evans keeping an eye on him, planning his next attempt at revenge? Swinging west, Smoke galloped his horse to the highest hill, where he had a view of what lay beyond. For a time, he just sat his horse motionless, making no effort to hide himself should anyone be watching. A herd the size of theirs couldn't be hidden as it moved northward, no matter how carefully they were kept to low ground, making it pointless to hide his own presence on the hilltop now. As far as the eye could see, the land was empty. A red hawk soared above distant stands of trees, hunting prey, a sign it sensed to no danger from the presence of man and forest below. A hawk's eyesight and hearing were far keener than a man's, and it convinced Smoke they were alone here.
For now.
Ignacio Valdez came to a decision. Instead of riding back to Bosque Redondo to warn Jesse about the herd moving northward away from Chisholm's like Jesse wanted, he would take care of this broad-shouldered stranger called Smoke Jensen himself, and that would please Jesse. The sneaky gringo who'd killed so many of their men and wounded Valdez personally would be dead, and Ignacio would get the credit for it. Ignacio was sure he could take Jensen down. In Chihuahua and Coahuila, he'd been the fastest gun in northern Mexico, killing the likes of Luis Ortega, Manuel Soto, and the worst of them all in a pistol duel, Emiliano Zambrano. He'd killed Zambrano with his first shot when they drew against each other in Juarez over a woman. Ignacio remembered how much faster he'd been, getting off a shot before the famous Zambrano could even level his gun. Stories circulated that Zambrano had killed more than a dozen pistoleros in gunfights. He'd had 10 notches in the walnut grips of the pistol he carried when Ignacio ended his life with a single bullet through the heart.
See, I can kill Jensen.
He spurred his bay gelding well to the north of the cattle herd.
He's only a man, and I will be quicker, much quicker. I will cut off his head and bring it to Jesse as proof of what I have done.
He guided his horse down a winding arroyo to a small stream lined with cotton trees, lying directly in the path of the herd. Ignacio spent a moment deciding where to hide his horse before he selected a spot to wait for Jensen. Jensen would stop to water his horse or simply slow down to cross the creek, and this would be when Ignacio would kill him. Hurrying away from the ravine where he tethered his bay, he trotted down to the stream where a massive cottonwood trunk would hide his presence. He took off his sombrero and placed it on the ground in the tall grass where Jensen wouldn't see it. And then he pulled his Mason Colt 4440, checking each load carefully. Ignacio had decided against using a rifle. He wanted Jensen close before he killed him, close enough to see the fear and surprise on his face when he saw the man who had cut off his head for a trophy to give to Jesse Evans. He peered around the cottonwood, waiting patiently. This was gonna be easy, killing Jensen. Almost too easy. But it would make up for the lives Jensen had taken in such a cowardly fashion, creeping up behind some of Jesse's men and four Pedro Lopez's pistoleros. A horse and rider approached the stream. Ignacio recognized Jensen and drew back out of sight, awaiting the moment when he could be sure of the kill. Resting his right palm on the butt of his Colt, he was eager for things to begin. Ignacio jacked back the hammer on his pistol, so all he'd need to do is draw and pull the trigger when he killed Jensen. This was the moment Ignacio had been waiting for. He swung around the cottonwood and spread his feet slightly apart.
Jensen!
The man froze in his tracks. Ignacio was sure it was fear that made him so still.
You called my name?
Si, and I am calling you a yellow coward. You killed some of my amigos. I have come to make you pay for what you did.
In that case, you better be damn good.
But I am, senor. Very good. I am faster than you.
I reckon you're gonna try to prove it now.
Bernard, this is the truth. I will kill you for what you did.
Lots of men have tried it over the years, and you can see I'm still here.
But none were as fast as me, senor. Of that, I am quite sure.
Only one way to find out. Reach for that iron you're carrying, and we'll decide this here and now.
You are a fool, senor. Un idiota. You do not know who I am.
I'll tell you the truth. I don't give a rat's ass.
I am Ignacio Valdez, the man who will put you in your grave.
Uh-huh. Well, I've already invited you to try it. Anytime you're ready.
You are indeed one loco hombre, Senor Jensen. You are too stupid to be afraid.
What's there to be afraid of? Some Mexican pistolero who calls himself Ignacio Valdez?
Are you not afraid of dying, senor?
It ain't been proven yet I'm the one who's gonna die when we go for our guns. It could work out another way.
Ignacio's hand dipped for his pistol.
Ah! Oh, madre!
Smoke hit Valdez and dropped him as Valdez managed a shot that went into the ground.
You were too slow. I gave you the first pull.
Bastardo!
It's all in the wrist. Your wrist was too stiff. You gotta learn to bend it some. Only I don't figure you'll have the time now. Adios, Valdez. That slug caught you in a bad place. You're bleeding like a stuck hog at butchering time right now. I don't figure you'll last long.
Bastardo!
I'd take offense to you calling me a bastard if you wasn't already dying.
Ignacio's vision blurred. He was wondering if Jesse Evans had any idea how fast this Jensen was with a handgun. Faster than any gunman Ignacio had ever seen.
Much faster than Emiliano Zambrano.
Two cowboys came galloping over the hilltop, their horses at full speed under the punishment of spurs, pistols drawn as they rode for the creek bank where smoke stood over the body of the Mexican. Pearly and Duke slowed their mounts when they could see the trouble was over.
We heard shooting. Don't need no crystal ball to know that's one of Jesse Evans' men.
He said his name was Ignacio Valdez, and that name should mean something.
Means it's gonna be hard to spell for some undertaker when he puts it on his tombstone. I figure it's gonna be like this plumb to the Colorado border. I know we couldn't just drive them cows peaceful all the way to Sugarloaf the way Cletus was hoping we could. I told Cletus last night to make damn sure his guns was loaded.
Well, we heard two shots real close together.
He damn near shot himself in the foot just a moment ago. Had his pistol in the cock position when he drew it. I've known a few gents who did without a toe or two the rest of their lives on account of that same bad habit.
I never claimed to be much of a gunny, but it don't appear Mr. Valdez was much of one either.
Yeah, he was fast by most men's standards, I suppose. He just wasn't quite fast enough.
That higher gun of Chisholm's, the one they call Buck, said to watch out for a fella riding with Evans by the name of Bill Pickett. An older fella, Buck said. Pickett is rattlesnake mean, according to Buck, and quicker than greased lightning with a pistol. Only Buck claimed Pickett prefers using a sawed-off shotgun.
A man with a sawed-off shotgun has to be mighty close to a target, Pearly. Could mean his eyesight is a little on the bad side. If he crosses the road we're taking to Big Rock, I'll buy him a pair of spectacles so they can bury him with them on.
Well, what do you want us to do with that corpse, Mr. Jensen?
Not a damn thing. Let the buzzards and coyotes have a meal out of him. Scout around and find his horse. It won't be far. And I'd hate to leave an animal tied up till it starves to death or breaks its reins. When Valdez don't show up wherever Evans is waiting for him, he'll come looking for him. And us. We can be sure of more gunplay sooner or later. Evans will likely bring this picket and anybody else he can hire. Like it or not, we've gotten ourselves in the middle of the Lincoln County War just because we bought a herd of cattle from John Chisholm.
I figured all along we'd have to shoot our way out of here. Duke, look for that horse whilst I get back to the herd. Ain't nobody riding point now, and they sure liable to wander.
Pearly noticed Smoke was looking off to the west.
What's wrong, boss?
I'm thinking.
Thinking about what, if you don't take no offense from me by asking?
Thinking about riding back to Lincoln right now to settle this score once and for all, so the rest of you don't have to duck lead all the way out of the territory. I can ask where to find Jimmy Dolan and look him up. I could warn him that if he sends one more gunman after this herd or any of my men, I'll kill him. And the more I think about it, the better that notion sounds.
It could be real dangerous.
You men keep pushing our herd north. Take your time, and don't ride into any tight spots where a bushwhacker can take a shot at you. I'll be back tomorrow. It's time Mr. Dolan found out a thing or two about our intentions.
What do we do if you don't come back?
Keep driving our cows towards Sugarloaf.
Yeah!
The Murphy and Dolan General Store sat across from the courthouse in Lincoln. By pushing his horse harder than he wanted to, Smoke arrived in front of the store just before closing time at 5 o'clock. When he swung down from the saddle, bone-weary after so many hours of riding trying to make a Lincoln before dark, his legs were stiff. Smoke entered the store in full stride, walking over to a clerk in a badly stained apron.
Howdy. Where's Jimmy Dolan?
In the back, tallying up the day's receipts, only he don't want to be disturbed right now.
He don't, huh? Well, he's going to make an exception this time.
A man in shirt sleeves with a distinctively pallid complexion glanced up from a ledger book.
I didn't hear you knock, mister.
Smoke stepped over to the desk where Dolan sat before he drew one pistol with his right hand, leveling it only a few inches from Dolan's forehead.
I'm going to give you some advice, Dolan. My name is Jensen. Smoke Jensen. I bought a herd of cows from John Chisholm, and I'm taking them back to Colorado Territory. Only I'm having this problem with a fool named Jesse Evans. He keeps trying to kill me and my cowboys. I've been told Evans works for you in this range war you're having in Lincoln County. I don't give a damn about your war, or who you rustle cattle from, or anything else. I want you to send Evans a message tonight.
Hey, you're a brazen man. I'll have you arrested for threatening me unless you put that gun away and get out of here immediately.
You don't understand. You weren't listening to me. Call off this Evans and your gunslingers right now, or so help me, I'll come back and kill you.
That's strong talk, Jensen.
It ain't just talk, you dumb son of a bitch. I've already killed 11 of your hired guns. I'll kill every last one of them, including you, if anybody messes with me or my cowboys or my cattle again. I want you to understand, Dolan. The next son of a bitch who takes a shot at me is going to start a game between us. A deadly game where you wind up being the first to die. I'll blow a goddamn tunnel through your head big enough to toss a tomcat through, and that'll be just a start. I'll hunt down Evans and every last one of his gunnies, and I'll put them all in shallow graves.
One man wouldn't stand a chance of doing what you claim to be able to do.
Just try me. You can count on one thing being for absolute certain. I'm going to kill you first if a shot gets fired at me or my friends. You won't be around to know if I can make good on the rest of my promise.
You're crazy.
I'm tired of being shot at. Tired of having to look over my shoulder to see if any more of your back shooters are behind me. I'm a rancher up in Colorado, but I'm also a real bad enemy to have if you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you.
I'll go to Sheriff Pat Garrett over in San Miguel County with this.
Oh, I hope you do. I'll tell him how your boys came gunning for us at Chisholm's the other night, and how I killed six of the yellow bastards while they were shooting at the ranch in the dark. Then I'll tell him how that big-talking Mexican by the name of Ignacio Valdez tried to ambush me earlier today, only I killed him too, and it was easy. Notify the sheriff if you want, Dolan, but remember what I said. If just one more bullet comes at us, you'll be as dead as Valdez and all the rest of your gun slicks.
You will regret this.
I doubt it. You'll be the one to regret your actions if you ain't been listening to what I said.
One man can't be all that good, that tough.
One way to find out. Send Evans and some of his men gunning for me.
I may just do that.
I'll enjoy it if you do. It's been a long time since I killed more than a handful of men at one time. But I'll enjoy killing you more than any of them, Dolan. Because you're a yellow son of a bitch who has to pay to get his dirty work done. Send your boys after me if you've got the guts for it. But if you do, I'd check on the price of a good casket right after that. And a cemetery plot. Because you're going to need them both. And you'll have to hire somebody to dig the hole ahead of time. Because you won't be alive to attend to your final arrangements.
Cal and Pearlie and Johnny were saddling fresh horses at a stream the next afternoon as Smoke returned from Lincoln. Smoke could see the cow herd grazing along peacefully, and that was all well. He waved as he rode up to the creek, just in time to see Cal pull his saddle cinch and step aboard the back of a gray colt they'd brought along to season it to cow work. Smoke's experienced eye saw the hump in the three-year-old colt's back, which Cal had apparently overlooked. Before Cal could even get his leg over the cantle of his saddle, that gray downed its head and began to buck.
What happened?
You got your young ass bucked off. You look for all the world like you was trying to fly, boy. Up there with them sparrows and blue jays. When I seen you way up yonder, I thought I'd just laid eyes on the ugliest buzzard on this earth.
It ain't all that funny. I just wasn't ready is all it was. That gray's got a mean streak in him.
Wasn't that gray's fault, Cal?
You should have noticed that hump in his back.
Wasn't no hump there. It was the damn colt's nasty disposition is what it was. Ow!
Cal stumbled out of the creek, his boots full of water, unable to look directly at Smoke or Pearlie for the moment, so deep was his humiliation over being thrown.
Hell, boy, you was needing a bath anyways. If I'd had a bar of lye soap, I'd have tossed it up in the air while she was testing your wings. That way you could have scrubbed clean soon as you landed. You done one of the prettiest dives I ever saw in my life just now. Damn near perfect landing.
Smoke swung down from the saddle, exhausted by a long night's ride to reach the herd as soon as he could, resting his palouse more often on the return trip to spare it any bog spavins or other lameness.
Well, it was a right pretty landing, son.
How'd things go in Lincoln? You have to shoot Jimmy Dolan, or was he ready to listen?
He didn't pay all that much attention. I warned him what would happen if one more shot got fired at us. He figures I'm bluffing.
Then he don't know you at all. If he knowed anything about Smoke Jensen, he know you don't never run no bluff on nobody.
I'm expecting more trouble. Dolan is a type who thinks his money will get him everything he's after. He talks big.
How come you didn't kill him? Or slap him plumb silly with a barrel of a gun?
I'm giving him a chance to think it over. It was probably a waste of time talking to him, telling him what I'd do if Evans and his boys came back. I'm betting they will.
Won't be much sleeping for this crew from now on. I can damn near feel it coming in my bones, like when a blue norther's headed our way.
I'm of the opinion your bones are telling you the truth this time, Pearly.
The man gave his name in broken English as a little horse. Then he pointed to seven young warriors standing behind him, introducing one as Dreamer, one as Ceasefar, then the others, all names Jesse quickly forgot. He didn't care what these Apaches called themselves, for Christ's sakes.
Can they shoot straight?
Many time kill white eyes. We kill more if you pay us money.
Get the ammunition you need from that store over yonder, then get mounted and follow us.
Jesse gave Jimmy Dolan a sideways look.
That makes eight more. 10 just showed up last night from Mexico. All good pistoleros, according to Pedro Lopez, and he knows most of them.
I hope they're better than Ignacio Valdez. You told me Valdez was really good.
That Jensen fella probably ambushed him from hiding at some place or another. Sure as hell wasn't no fair fight if he got Ignacio.
Just make damn sure you get Jensen, at all costs.
Oh, you can bank on it.
Jensen is a cocksure son of a bitch. He acted like he owned Lincoln County. I wasn't carrying a gun, and yet he stuck his pistol right in my face when he came barging in the store. I want him dead. Nobody sticks a gun in my face like that.
I'll bring you his head in a tow sack. I'll have 40 men with me, including those Redskins. There ain't but 7 or 8 with that herd, including Jensen. It'll be over before it gets started.
Kill them all. Don't leave a goddamn one of them alive to tell what happened.
It's as good as done. I done promised Pickett he can make sure every last one of them is dead. He gets a kick out of killing with that shotgun of his. I'm sure as hell glad he's on our payroll.
Just get the job done this time. I'm paying good money to get results, not a bunch of empty promises like the last time.
That was on account of Billy Morton warned him. As soon as we get back, I'll find Morton and I'll kill him myself.
Do whatever it takes.
Jesse mounted his horse, waiting between Pickett and Tom Hill for the Apaches to come out of the store.
You do know, don't you, Jesse, that goddamn Indians can't shoot? Not a one of them can.
Well, maybe they'll get lucky, Bill. Little Horse, the one who speaks some English, is tough. And a dead shot when he's up close, according to Colonel Dudley. They've been trying to find something to pin on him so they can hang him. Only he's smart. He don't get caught very often. They had to let him go this time because nobody would testify it was him murdered them farmers.
I hate Indians. After we get done with this Jensen feller, I'll do the army a favor by blowing off that damn Apache skull bone.
When you're finished with Jensen, I don't give a damn what you do. You can kill all those Apaches for all I care. That way Dolan don't have to pay him.
Sounds good to me.
Jesse noticed Tom Hill's coloring wasn't quite right after he heard what Pickett meant to do to the Indians. Glancing over his shoulder, Jesse took another look at the 10 Mexicans who'd ridden in Bosque Redondo the night before. All were bearded, hard-faced men with crisscrossed cartridge bandoliers over each shoulder. The pistolero who led this bunch was named Jose Vasquez, and he had a certain look about him showing confidence. Pedro said Jose was a bandito and a killer who took great pride in his work. Jesse thought about Smoke Jensen. For a man he'd never met, this Colorado rancher was sure as hell causing a lot of trouble in New Mexico territory.
That's right!
Can't get there soon enough to suit me.
43 gunmen followed Jesse into the hills east of Lincoln Township. Dust curled away from their horses' heels. Jesse noticed Jimmy Dolan standing on the porch of his store, watching him ride off. Jesse promised himself that Mr. Dolan was not going to be disappointed this time when he heard what had happened somewhere along the Pecos River. Joey and Cletus and Johnny rode slow circles around the herd as the cattle bedded down for the night. The day had passed uneventfully, but when Smoke scouted for a place to hold the herd for the night, he selected it carefully, with defense from an all-out attack in mind, deciding upon the middle of a flat grassy prairie with no trees or brush nearby where a rifleman would be in range. He knew once the shooting started that the Longhorns would scatter in every direction, making for a difficult time rounding them up, even in daylight. Under the present circumstances, it was the best he could do, staying out in the open so Evans would have to charge him without benefit of cover. Defenders lying in tall bunch grass would have a decided advantage over men charging across the flat meadow toward the herd.
You figure they're coming tonight, don't you?
Hard to say, Pearly. Best thing to do is be ready for them anytime.
They'll come from the west, from the direction of Lincoln, I reckon.
Most likely. That's why I'm headed that way as soon as I've eaten. Those trees way over yonder will give me some cover. I'll go on foot so I can move around quiet. They may come at us from the south if they've been following our tracks. I want you and the rest to spread out around the herd with rifles and plenty of ammunition. Find a spot in that tall grass where you'll be harder to see when you shoot. They'll have to cross a bunch of open ground to get to us, and that'll cost them. Those Longhorns are going to run like mad as soon as the first shot gets fired. I'll try to drop as many of Jesse's boys as I can before they get too close. Main thing is to stay down. I don't want anybody to take chances.
You'll be the one taking chances.
Well, I'm accustomed to it, Pearly. I reckon I've been taking chances all my life, so I've had plenty of practice. The most important thing is that none of you take a bullet. And if you can, protect those Herefords. We can buy more Longhorns if we lose them, but those white-faced bulls can't be replaced very easily. Save as many as you can.
Evans would have to be a fool to charge us out in the open like this, even if he'd done it at night. Unless he's got a hell of a lot of men with him.
I expect him to bring a sizable bunch this time. I'll kill as many as I can before they rush you.
Yep. I notice you're wearing your moccasins instead of your boots tonight.
Quieter.
I reckon I'm about to get another chance to kill somebody. Sure does a job on my nerves.
You'll do fine, Cal.
Smoke got up as Duke was coming to the fire after tying his horse to the picket rope. He saw the tomahawk in Smoke's hand.
I sure hope they don't get that close, Mr. Jensen.
That's why I'm headed for those trees yonder, so I can keep some of them from getting close. I'll see you boys at daybreak if nothing happens tonight. Put out that fire as soon as everyone's eaten.
We's all wishing you good luck, boss.
You should know by now. I never depend on luck, Pearly.
Smoke strode into the darkness. False dawn came to the eastern sky, making shadows that played tricks on a man's eyes, unless he knew a thing or two about shadows in early light. The night had passed without incident, although Smoke continued to circle the herd from a distance, moving from tree to tree, pausing to listen and study the forest before moving on again. Smoke knew the sound, the unmistakable step of an unshod horse's hoof. He hadn't been expecting Injuns, not when Jesse Evans was the enemy, but few white men rode unshod horses in rough country. He hurried toward the sound now, dodging from pine trunk to pine trunk until he crept close to a small clearing where the outlines of two Apache warriors on wiry ponies moved slowly in the direction of the prairie where the herd was bedded down.
Apache scouts.
Smoke continued forward, pulling his tomahawk with his right hand, a pistol with his left. The element of surprise would be with him if he moved quickly. He crept up behind the pair of Injuns. Where there were two scouts, there could be more. Smoke was certain these were not wandering renegades on the lookout for easy pickings. They worked for Evan, sure enough, leading his gang to Smoke and his friends. A full-fledged attack was only moments away, coming at dawn when cowboys who had been vigilant all night would be tired, sleepy, not as watchful. Smoke knew he had precious little time to reduce the odds against him before Evans led his men charging toward the herd. The young Apache never heard Smoke's stealthy approach up to his hiding place behind a tree. Smoke knew there were two more Injuns watching the herd somewhere. He found three ponies in a thicket tied to low tree limbs. Racing away from his third kill, Smoke saw a shadow move at the base of another oak tree at the edge of the prairie.
Good God, they're making it easy for me spreading out like this.
practicing the stalking art he'd learned from Preacher. Smoke came up behind an Apache cradle and a Spencer rifle. Smoke didn't even wait to see the Apache fall. He found the last Injun relieving himself behind a bush with his rifle leaning against a pinyon pine. Farther to the south, he heard horses moving.
Here comes the rest of the army.
It was unlikely there could be any more killing without gunfire and the commencement of all-out war. Smoke trotted back to the fork of a tree where he'd hidden his rifle, passing five lifeless bodies in the soft light of a coming sunrise, the air already thick with the scent of blood. A lone Mexican, squatting behind a thick tangle of thorny brush, gave Smoke one more chance to kill soundlessly. Smoke's killing instincts had once again overtaken him, pushing everything else from his mind. But just once, before he took off looking for more victims in the forest, he thought about the promise he'd made to Sally to steer clear of a fight if he could.
She'd understand.
Smoke moved more slowly now, with light starting to beam over eastern hills that would reveal his presence. Carrying the Winchester in one hand and a pistol in the other, he belted the tomahawk, because it had done all the damage it could before sunrise. Smoke stepped among the trees, halting often to sweep the forest for any sign of the enemy. When it was safe to continue, he moved south, wondering if Evans had split his forces so that some were already surrounding the herd.
Can't be two places at once.
Then he saw what he'd been expecting all along. A bunch of mounted men waiting in a draw surrounded by slender oaks. He froze behind a tree to count them.
A baker's dozen.
A pistol in each hand, his Winchester lying between his feet within easy reach. Smoke straightened up behind a bush at the lip of the ravine. As with the five Apaches, these men would get no warning before they died. This was open war now. Taken completely by surprise, the gunman merely sought an escape from the deadly hail of hot slugs pouring down on him. But as each one made a dash toward freedom, he was cut down, knocked from his saddle by a bullet. Not a shot was fired back in Smoke until both his pistols were empty. And as he seized his rifle, only two unharmed members of Evans' gang remained aboard their horses. One was able to ride into the trees before Smoke could get off a rifle shot. But the second, a heavy Mexican, met his end as he was spurring his horse behind the first one to flee. Then Smoke was moving again, hurrying away from the scene, a ravine filled with corpses. He raced back among the trees toward the herd, certain that now Evans would order a full charge toward the cattle. As he was running, he reloaded his Colt, cradling his rifle in the crook of his arm. As he had expected, he heard the rumble of pounding hooves coming from the south and east. Men came pouring from the pines in every direction, spurring their mounts into a hard gallop. And even a quick count revealed there were far more of them than Smoke had anticipated. It appeared that 20 or more riders were rushing onto the prairie.
That bastard hired every gun in Lincoln County.
Smoke ran faster, hurrying toward a position where he could help Pearly and Cal and Johnny and his neighbors by firing from the enemy's flanks. Until he was in range, he dared not waste a shot, because it would tell Evans and the others where he was. In his heart, Smoke knew everyone in his crew could make it through a war like this without a scratch, and the thought saddened him momentarily, until blind rage overtook his sorrow.
I'm coming, Evans!
An unexpected bit of good fortune presented itself just as he was nearing a thick oak trunk. Three riders came charging out of the trees with guns blazing, unaware that Smoke was only a few dozen yards away. Smoke stumbled to a halt and drew a bead on the first rider with a pistol. A man in a dirty brown Stetson flipped off his horse. A Mexican with cartridge belts around his chest went down next, his sombrero fluttering away while he fell. The third rider fired at Smoke. Smoke leveled his pistol. Three riderless horses galloped onto the prairie, one with blood dripping from its withers, where its owner had bled before he fell. The stampede Smoke had been worrying about began. You could see the gentle Herefords milling about, but for the moment, they stayed together in a tight bunch. A
rifle popped from a clump of bunch grass near the picketed horses. One of Evans's men floated away from his galloping horse with both hands pressed to his face.
Nice shot.
Smoke led a moving target with his rifle sights.
I gotta get closer.
Two of Evans's men noticed Smoke for the first time and swung their horses in his direction, bearing down on him as fast as their horses could run.
Thank you, gentlemen. Time to move.
Smoke ran straight for the middle of the fight. Tom Hill spurred his horse relentlessly to catch up to Jesse, and when Jesse saw him angling across the prairie, he wondered where the others were. The dozen men Tom was supposed to lead into attack from the southwest. Tom was all alone, and he should not have been. Dodging stampeding longhorns, Jesse motioned to Pickett and the men behind him to continue charging Jensen and his cowboys, while he reined off to find out what Tom was in such a hurry to tell him. Tom hauled back on his reins, bringing his lathered sorrel to a slide and stop when he rode up to Jesse. Jesse saw a look on Tom's face that could only be fear.
He got behind us again! Who? That fella Jensen! It's gotta be him! Big son of a bitch with two pistols! I ain't never seen nothing like it in all my born days, Jesse! We was ready to charge out here, but this big bastard appeared out of nowhere, both pistols blazing. He killed everybody except me. I was lucky to get out with my skin. One man ain't supposed to be able to do what he did. He killed 12 goddamn men, Jesse, in less time than it takes me to tell it.
There had to be some other shooting.
Just then, Jesse saw one of the Apaches galloping by. He wondered where the other Injuns were now. Only two of them were out on the prairie doing any shooting, and their leader, Little Horse, wasn't among them.
Just him, Jesse, I swear to it. Ain't no man on earth can kill 12 men like he done, only I seen it with my own two eyes while I was getting the hell away from there as fast as this horse could run.
How come nobody shot him?
It wasn't time. He stood up behind this bush and emptied both guns as fast as he could pull them triggers. Men was dropping like flies. That ain't even the worst of it. Just when I was coming to tell you what happened to us, I saw that half-breed, Raul Jones, come riding out of them trees yonder with a couple of Pedro's men. Somebody cut him down before you could blink. I figured it had to be Jensen.
It was not possible what Tom was telling him. How could one man be so goddamn lucky? Or was he that good? Couldn't be. Not an ordinary cattleman from someplace up in Colorado. Now Jesse looked at the fight going on around Jensen's camp, and he saw two more of his men fall from their saddles. Pickett had already swung his horse around when rifle fire from Jensen's cowboys proved too accurate. Pickett was no coward, but out in the open like he was a sitting duck.
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea, Jesse, tangling with Smoke Jensen. He ain't the tin horn everybody claimed he was. Big sumbitch can damn sure shoot. I seen it for myself.
I ain't never met a man I back down from.
Jesse found himself wondering if Jensen had gotten Little Horse and his four scouts, too. He could see their assault on the cowboys' camp was doing very little beyond running off Jensen's herd.
All right! Maybe it wasn't such a good plan to cover them in the open like this. Now we'll pull back and find another way. Ride a wide circle and tell the men to head north. It's gonna take Jensen a while to round up these cattle. That'll give us time to come up with a better idea. They're headed north to Colorado with this herd, so we'll look for a place north of here to set up an ambush that can't fail.
Bill Pickett galloped up as Tom was leaving to give Jesse's orders to withdraw. Pickett's face was a mask of hatred.
Have your damn gun slicks ran off before we rushed them. Now look out yonder. There ain't but 15 or 20 of us, and we come here with more than 40. So few of us can't get close enough to find anything to shoot at. Them cowboys are all laying down in the grass where we can't see them, and we're out in the open.
Some of them didn't run off.
Most of the gunfire stopped when Tom began motioning men to pull out and follow him northward.
Tom told me Jensen killed 12 men in that ravine where they was waiting for my signal. And then he got three more, including Raul. He may have killed Little Horse and our scouts. I ain't seen him since before the fight started.
As he was speaking to Pickett, Jesse saw a hatless man carrying a rifle running on foot toward the cowboy camp.
That's gotta be Jensen right there. If I had a Sharp's buffalo gun...
Pickett saw the running figure, too. He squinted to see him more clearly in the bright morning sunlight.
He's just one man, Jesse. He may be good,
There's always somebody who's a little better. If he'd done what Billy claimed he did, then he's pretty damn good. Only I'm promising you I can kill him if I get to pick the place and a time.
Well, I'm gonna give you that opportunity. You can pick the spot. I don't give a goddamn how you do it. I just want Jensen dead. We'll skirt their camp and head north, the direction they got to go to get to Colorado. And you can start looking for the right place on the way up.
The man Jesse believed to be Jensen disappeared into a tall stand of bunch grass near a group of tethered horses still pawing the ground, prancing as a result of loud gunfire coming from all directions.
I'll kill him for you. Just let me do it my way.
Unconsciously, Jesse shook his head in disbelief when he got a count of the men Tom was leading north. Scarcely more than a dozen. Was it possible that Jensen could have killed so many men himself? It went against everything Jesse knew about paid shootists. Even the best of them in tough border towns like Laredo could barely claim a dozen kills over a lifetime. Jensen had killed at least that many in a matter of minutes. Before Jesse lifted his reins to ride off, he caught a glimpse of an engine riding out of trees to the west. It was Dreamer, if Jesse remembered right.
Yonder's one of the Apaches. If he speaks any English, I'll ask him what came of Little Horse and all the others.
My money says they couldn't run. I told you a goddamn engine ain't worth the gunpowder it takes to kill him when it comes down to cases.
The engine came galloping up on a piebald paint pony. He looked at Jesse for a moment as if trying to think of the right words to say.
What the hell happened to Little Horse and the rest?
All dead? Chop head in half. Come see.
Shit, I don't need to see that. Let's ride. We'll catch up with Tom and the others and then we'll decide what to do.
I've already decided. I'm gonna kill that son of a bitch myself. And when I blow his goddamn head all to pieces with old Betsy here, you'll see Mr. Smoke Jensen was nothing but lucky he didn't run into me first.
As they rode around the cowboy camp, Jesse wasn't so sure of Pickett's judgment when it came to Jensen. He recalled the time down in West Texas a few years ago when he saw Clay Allison in action. Allison could draw and shoot as quickly as Jesse, and for that reason, Jesse left him completely alone until an offer of a job in New Mexico took him out of Sanderson. He gave Jensen's camp a last look before he urged his horse into a thin line of trees to the northeast. Jesse couldn't help remembering what Dreamer had just told him, that Little Horse and his Apaches died from split skulls. An Apache was nearly impossible to slip up on from behind. It was beginning to seem like Jensen was always finding a way to get behind him.